Good evening, James McCanny here with my Science Hour, May 19th, 2016. And an update in a minute on Ecuador, another 6.2, I believe it was, earthquake. But this time I have on the ground reporting two rods from God's. Many, many, many people saw this coming in 3 o'clock in the morning as the people ran into the streets. Many people saw the first one, but of course, 3 in the morning, not everybody was up. But the second one, the whole country of Ecuador saw, or that part of the country, the western Pacific coastline, they saw the second one coming in, a bright streak coming over the horizon as it fell to the ground. The second earthquake struck. And anyway, I'll be talking about that. No question about it, the U.S. military using military weapons on civilian targets. Oh, wow. Anyway, I'll be talking a little bit about that. And first of all, this is not really a political commentary as much as it is a commentary on, let's say, past wrongdoings of a certain group of people that are very much in power in the United States. But oddly enough, this past week, the three Bushes, the Bush Sr., who was president for one term, Bush Jr., that was president for two terms, and Jeb Bush, who may never be president, backed the Hillary Clinton campaign, with including funding, heavily funding the Hillary Clinton campaign. And so, you know, you can see Bill there, and they're taking the money. But why on earth would that be going on? One can only surmise, and of course you could tie it off to the old guard, wanting to maintain the old guard, and Trump is a threat. Because he's not an insider, he doesn't belong to Bohemian Grove, he's not in the G8 circle or the G20 circle, etc. But the reality is that if Hillary loses the presidency because she's being protected, there's a very good chance that she will be prosecuted and go to prison. But this is going to open up the Pandora's box of wrongdoing between the Bushes and Clintons going back to the, literally to the 1970s, when Billy was growing up in Arkansas and became a Rhodes Scholar. Everybody wonders what Billy's rise to fame was all about. And literally, he's related to the Rothschilds. And so through the Rockefellers. Anyway, that's a long story. But at any rate, the criminal background goes way back. And there's, you know, the exposure of their crime history is very, I'm not going to go into it on this show. I've talked a little bit about it before. And when I was in California in the early 1980s, I got a glimpse of that, a first-hand glimpse, because at that time, the Iran-Contra, what became later known as Iran-Contra, was actually going on. And as I met businessmen in the aerospace industry, in the military-industrial complex, and the venture capital world out there, as I was looking for funding for my science projects, And that was long before I understood what made the world go round and round, you know, the corrupt families, etc. I saw literally, and I met people who literally had owned airplanes. These were very capable, big two-engine airplanes. Those were the airplanes they were using in Iran-Contra. And people talked about it openly as to what they were doing. They would fly out over the Pacific Ocean and with a flight plan to for Hawaii or and then eventually to go to Japan to transport Japanese businessmen, but they never transported anybody. Once they got out over the horizon, they would then turn south and fly into Nicaragua, where the drugs and the transfer, the guns and the trades went on. Some of the flights, of course, went into Mexico to pick up arms that were being manufactured there. They were taking Chinese, very low quality, but, you know, good steel Chinese weapons and converting them into automatic, semi-automatic weapons that were being then put into Iran, which was, by the way, the seeds of all the problems we're seeing in Iran today. But that was also the days of the MENA, Arkansas drug running. And so what they were doing is they were trading cocaine for arms and other benefits in Central and South America, which included, by the way, Ecuador. Ecuador is in the very middle of this. A guy named Jaime Robles was the president of Ecuador. He was a young, very well-educated person. He came out of the common people ranks, made it all the way to presidency, was elected, and he was getting rid of the oil companies, the sugar companies, the international fruit companies, all of the companies that were keeping the Ecuador people down in the dirt, literally, and making a few people extremely rich. And, of course, this was one of the hubs for the CIA drug trafficking path up to the United States and, of course, to Europe. So at any rate, going back to the Bushes and the Clintons, this was their one of their operations, and that was going into MENA, Arkansas, under the eye of Hillary and Bill Clinton, as they, Bill back in those days, was a young governor of Arkansas. So at any rate, the point is that the Bushes, the three Bushes, the two ex-presidents and the wannabe pres, are backing not only with support, but with monetary support for Hillary Clinton. And of course, Billy is very much involved in her running there. But if Hillary goes to prison, or if they even start to investigate her, that would open up the, like I say, the entire Pandora's box of the association with the Bushes. And her trip to prison could be very well followed very nearly immediately. The red carpet would be, the skids would be greased to prison for the Bushes and possibly even Bill Clinton. These people have a serious criminal past. But in light of that, as they move the MENA, Arkansas drug running operation, CIA drug running operation, that became too hot in Arkansas at MENA, so they moved it and they chose a little airstrip outside of Waco, Texas. So the Branch Davidian, and I'm sorry I was mentioning the Branch Davidian last week and I kept saying Davidigan. You know, it's one of those those things, I'm sorry, it gets in your head or on your out it comes off your tongue and it's kind of, you can't cure it at the time. Branch Davidian complex was burned down. There's a new video. I suggest that everybody watch this video. And the name of the video is The Unspeakable Evil. So just go to YouTube, watch that. It's 3 hours long. I rarely watch anything that's that long, but I got looking at that, and I wanted to see the whole story to see if they got it correct. And lo and behold, it's in two sections. It's an hour and a half section, then there's another hour and a half. So it's over 3 hours long, about 3 hours, 8 minutes, I believe, but worth the watch. The Unspeakable Evil. And right in the middle of the first part, they nail Hillary Clinton. She sent a page who reported in Congress that he went over to Vince Foster's office after Foster was killed, obviously killed. Everybody knows he was murdered. It was a suicide. It was written off as a suicide. And clearly Foster had a conscience. And he knew about Whitewater. He knew about Waco. He knew about everything else going on. And he had a whole file on the Clintons regarding Waco. The very first thing that happened to Bill Clinton when he became president, this is early 93, I think it's February of 93, is the Waco thing blew up. And Hillary took charge. So basically Janet Reno was operating under the direction of Hillary Clinton. and the video goes into this, which I'm glad they did. And this page goes over to Vince Foster's office at the direction of Hillary Clinton's secretary and picks up a box of records, takes them to the front door of the personal house of Hillary Clinton, of the Clintons. And, of course, the idea was that they were obstructing justice, destroying records, and not, you know, that the recent thing with Benghazi. This is standard fare for the Clintons, to destroy records, to know where they are, and to kill people, and to, it's just part of what they do. And complete impunity, because they are in the New World Order. So Trump thinks that the Democratic Party is protecting Hillary Clinton. He's probably smarter than that. He knows that they're part of the New World Order, and the chain of command from the Rothschild banking empire through the Rockefellers, of which Bill is a family member. And Hillary, of course, by marriage is a family member there also. And, of course, she is going to do their bidding if she becomes president. And so she was chosen to be president instead of Obama. But Hillary had a little problem last election when Obama was running. Hillary got the nod. She got the Rockefeller, you know, David Rockefeller met with him. And she had everything in place, hundreds of millions of dollars in funding. And one day it all dried up. And what was the problem? Hillary was not a team player. She had not, as they say, gotten religion. Billy got religion back in Arkansas when he was basically lost his governorship for one term. And that meant the end of his political career and any bid for president, which he had been promised way back then as part of his operation with the Bushes. And the Bushes already knew that they were going to be presidents, that Bush Sr., he was in the CIA, of course, the head of the CIA. He became vice president under Reagan, and he basically ran the Reagan White House. Reagan tried to do some things, but then he took a bullet in the side from, guess who? George Bush Sr.'s neighbor. The kid, Hinckley, was George Bush Sr.'s neighbor's kid. That's where Hinckley came from. You know, and they probably had brain treatment or, you know, mental control on him. But at any rate, Reagan takes a bullet in the side, and from then on, George Bush Sr. Ran the White House, basically, and all of the things that went on. And that's where the Iran-Contra thing came out and came to light. And the big congressional hearings and Ronald Reagan, you know, how many 50-some times said, I don't remember, clearly, you know, covering up for the Bushes and the Clintons in this operation. But my point was that the video, The Unspeakable Evil, is about Waco, Texas, and what happened there and how they killed. The operation there was to kill all those people and burn it to the ground and destroy everything, because David Koresh was keeping extensive records on the CIA flights, on the CIA drug operations at Waco. So, and all of the people there knew it. And so that's why when the people came out who were totally unrelated to any so-called accusations at Waco, they put them all in prison for 40 years. And literally the jury found them all not guilty, and the judge put them in prison anyway. Why? And they're all in solitary confinement. They can't talk to anybody. Why? Because they could all spill the beans on the Clintons in the Waco operation of the CIA there. And so they had to burn that place to the ground and destroy all the evidence. It's all about destruction of evidence. But the video, The Unspeakable Evil, did not go that far. They didn't hit on the actual source, but they did nail the Clintons. And they didn't talk enough about the Bushes. But anyway, not a lot of people really understand this whole issue. Right now, they're moving Pete Santilli, a journalist who was up in Burns, Oregon, simply recording, and, you know, a journalist on the site. He's in prison in solitary confinement, now being moved back to Oregon. And this is what they do to journalists now in the United States. They put them in prison. They're political prisoners. They have not been charged with any crime. Like the Bundys and the Hammonds. There's anyway, that's the whole deal. But there again, you got the Clintons taking backdoor money into the Clinton Foundation while they allowed the uranium to be sold through an intermediary company in Canada called Uranium One to be sold to Russia. Something that required the Secretary of State, who was Hillary Clinton, to approve, because, you know, you're selling a Defense Department sensitive material to a foreign, you know, potential enemy. And it was all approved under the Hillary Clinton watch as Secretary of State. And so these people have been kicked off their land. The BLM is going in and taking it over so that then this can be mined for the uranium. That's what it's all about. Now we come to Ecuador. As I reported, Ecuador has actually 8 big uranium deposits, 5 of which are probably some of the largest and most significant uranium deposits in the world. And so last week I reported that a rod from God came in. It's a military weapon, was used to trigger the April 16th 6.8, or no, that was an 8.2, I believe, earthquake in Ecuador. It had hundreds of aftershocks. It was a surface earthquake. Now, if you go to the USGS site on earthquakes, it listed as a 19-kilometer deep earthquake, which is totally fabricated data. The government agencies fabricate data covering up the real story that was a surface earthquake. Now, and this was, remember I reported that Bolivia and Russia had teams, companies that were in Ecuador, in southeastern Ecuador, surveying, and they were ready to start excavating the uranium when all of a sudden, April 16th, there's magically an earthquake which devastates Ecuador financially. In comes China, gives them a $5.3 billion line of credit. The Chinese want the uranium too. Isn't that special? And so anyway, the International Monetary Fund and the Inter-American Development Bank have been knocking on Ecuador's door. Not exactly knocking on the door, but pounding on it. And Ecuador has not signed off on the loans. As of yesterday, the Ecuador still had not signed off on the loans to the International Monetary Fund and the Inter-American Development Bank. So China beat them to it with a line of credit, which is a much nicer thing, because if you don't use it all, you only pay interest on what you use. So it was a much sweeter deal that China gave them, and they were Johnny on the spot. And the International Monetary Fund, which, of course, is the branch of the World Bank, the Rothschild banking community. And I did a tweet this week. Basically, it went something like this, that after natural disasters in a foreign country, especially a third world country like Ecuador, we used to send foreign aid to recover. Now they send the International Monetary Fund or its related banks to give loans and rape the country. In other words, kick them when they're up, kick them when they're down. And especially when they're down, kick them twice. That's what's going on. You know, there's no international funds coming out of the United States. You know, Congress has not approved any emergency funds. What they've done is they've okayed these banks to go in and give them loans. Well, how's little Ecuador in after, you know, being devastated, the whole country's been devastated by powerful earthquakes, how on earth are they going to pay back these loans? Well, that's the whole point. Standard operating procedure for the International Monetary Fund to go in, give them a loan, and then turn around and say, well, doggone, you can't pay the loan back. We'll just take these natural resources over here. That's what's going on. But Ecuador is not signing on the line. So, Wednesday morning, yesterday morning, early morning, 3 a.m., another couple of rods from God come in and hit the west coast, same area of Ecuador, and caused two more, a 6.2 And I don't have quite have the real reading, that what I would trust as the real reading for the second one. But the reports are, and I've got this on the ground from contacts there, that as the people ran out of their houses, they saw the second rod from God coming in. And the whole western side of Ecuador saw this. Because, when there's an earthquake, you run out of the house. You get into the street so that buildings don't fall on you. That's the biggest danger in an earthquake. And I had a friend that I taught with once in one of my foreign teaching positions. This guy was from Chile. And he had been a teacher, a university professor in physics, in Chile. When one of the major, and Chile has some serious earthquakes. But one of the major Chilean earthquakes occurred, and I said what it was like. And he said, well, you run out into the street, which you can hardly walk because the ground is shaking. And so you get into the street, and if you make it that far, and you're thrown to the ground, and he said the ground is coming up and slapping you, your whole body, your body is bouncing off the pavement. And your head, and it's like your jaw is slamming into the pavement, boom, 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 about that fast. This is the description of a physicist who was, could describe very accurately what happened. But at any rate, it's well known that during a earthquake, you run out into the street. So as the people of Western Ecuador ran into the street, 3 o'clock in the morning, Wednesday morning, during this horrendous earthquake, they all saw the second rod from God coming in. Big, bright ball, long, thin tail in this smoke screen that came in after it. And as soon as it hit, boom, the second earthquake. So some people, there was some reporting of the first rod from God that created the first quake, but then came the second one. Well, gee, Ecuador is getting the business, as they used to say on Leave It to Beaver. Eddie, giving them the beaver the business. That was the expression. If you ever saw Leave It to Beaver, that TV show when I was a little kid. I don't know if anybody ever seen that, has seen that more recently. But there was an expression in there. It was one of the more humorous expressions of the show. They would come out with that every time that they needed a little humor support. Has given them the business. Well, Ecuador got the business. And we'll see that if that drives Ecuador into signing. These are military-grade weapons, totally illegal, coming in, raining in out of the sky from outer space, from orbit, completely illegal by any international standard. The only country that would do this and that has a financial motive to do this is the United States. And here again, it comes back to, guess who? The Clintons, who've been central in moving international uranium around. We look up in Canada, the report I talked about last week, where the fires in Canada, they're not allowing the people to go back in, and they're burning it off so they can get at that big uranium deposit, potentially the second largest uranium deposit in the world, which is already in northern Alberta and much of northern Saskatchewan is being mined for uranium. And a bigger deposit now has been discovered down lower down in Alberta. And of course, that is also, from what it appears, going through Uranium One, which is this front company wholly owned by a Russian corporation in Canada. And there, again, the Clintons have their hands all over this. So I don't have a direct connection between what's going on in Ecuador and the Clintons, other than they are New World Order. They're representatives of the World Bank. And so when the International Monetary Fund goes in and Ecuador won't sign on a dotted line, guess what? We have a little rod from God action and another major earthquake, which would not have happened. Neither of these would happen. And, of course, Ecuador has had major earthquakes in the past. And if this were not visible, there's the videos. There's all the video information regarding the April 16th earthquake. and now on the ground reporting thousands, if not tens or hundreds of thousands of people, literally seeing the rod from God come in, causing the earthquake. On this would have been the early morning on the 18th of May, a little over a month later. So that's interesting, too, that amount of time. China, mind you, was 2 days after. By April 18th, China had already gotten Ecuador to sign off on a $5.3 billion line of credit. And once again, a line of credit is simply you can borrow this money if you like. All you got to do is write a check, put it in the bank, and that money is yours. And then at that point, you pay interest on what you borrow. And so that was, a sweet deal because Ecuador could only be responsible for what they borrowed and pay interest back and then pay the loan back. But the International Monetary Fund, they want a loan. They want Ecuador to sign off on a loan. And it's not as much. It's only $600 million, from what I understand. Now, that's the International Monetary Fund. The Inter-American Development Bank has offered them an undisclosed amount of money. But clearly, within 2 days, China already had the line of credit signed, done deal. Ecuador has availability to that credit money. It's over a month later, Ecuador has not signed with the IMF or the Inter-American Development Bank, and maybe they were looking to get a little prodding here to help them sign on the dotted line. These are military weapons being used on civilian populations, clear and simple. Now, last week, Friday? I believe, Friday, second hour on Joyce Riley's show, The Power Hour. Joyce called me up Thursday evening and said, Jim, can you be on the show? And I said, sure. So jump on the show in the morning. I did an hour, which is what they requested. And then she said, can you stay over for another half hour? The lines were jammed. The people wanted to know about this. So I continued for another half hour in answering questions. That's a good thing to listen to if you have time. I believe that was last Friday, so that would have been the 13th of May. And or was it? No, that may have been. No, I'm sorry. It was the 12th. It was the 12th of May, Thursday morning. And so they would have contacted me Wednesday evening, Thursday morning, 8 a.m. Central Time. On the Joyce Riley Show, the Power Hour, Hour 2, and then the first half hour of Hour 3, and went through the whole discussion of the rods from God, the Ecuador situation, etc. And then, of course, on my show last week, I talked more about the scientific aspects of rods from God, etc. But at any rate, now this is an update. Here we are a full month after the April 16th earthquakes, and the International Monetary Fund and the Inter-American Development Bank are trying to get their hand in there so that they can get access to that uranium, but Ecuador isn't biting off on it. So in come a couple more rods from God, 3 in the morning, when everybody should be tidy in their bed sleeping. Nobody should be up in these countries, too. You know, you have people out in the beach, etc., fishermen who get up early and go out fishing. There's a big fishing industry off the west coast of Ecuador. And plus you have the shipping industry, which is down there, the oil industry. Ecuador is an oil-producing country, and that is a region where the shipping comes in, etc. But there's no other, you know, explanation, because these are clearly man-made earthquakes caused by the rods from God, all that technology I've described. And they're trying to put the strong arm on Ecuador to sign these loans. Anyway, it's enough reporting on that. But watch the video, The Unspeakable Evil. And once again, it all comes back to roost on the Clintons. These people are the center of corruption in the world. And now they are central to the movement of uranium in the world. So I don't personally have a direct connection between them and Ecuador, but like I say, because of the World Bank activity, because of the International Monetary Fund knocking on the door of Ecuador, I can only smell the Clinton rat in the pudding in the kitchen on this one, too. Just a quick update on Fukushima. This past week reported that the underground dike that had been built to contain the fluids, the liquids in the meltdown region of the nuclear reactors, the water is coming up and over. So this is highly, highly radioactive water. And, you know, nobody is taking any responsibility for killing the Pacific Ocean. These immense die-offs that were occurring down in Chile and other places. And a friend of mine, Brian from Canada, talked about this. Brian Porter, he's a talk show host. I'm on his show many times up in Canada. We were talking on the phone, and he said, you know, when we looked at those pictures of the die-offs, all these fish on the Chilean coast and all these other places, there's inland lakes that have died off. And, of course, the ocean streams from Fukushima come all the way down to Australia, which is to the south, and then down, of course, across to South America, of course, to the Americas, to Mexico, to Hawaii, to California, up through British Columbia Northwest Passage up to Alaska, etc. But Brian said, you know, there is no seabirds. If you had that quantity of fish on the shore, dead fish, every seabird on the planet would be down there feasting. But you know what? There weren't any. Not one. You did not see a single bird, meaning that the birds had already died off. I mean, because the birds would eat, you know, radioactive fish. They don't have a Geiger counter built into their nose. Dead fish is dead fish. I mean, to a bird, that's like hog heaven, you know, to have a whole shoreline full of fish, and there was not a single bird in sight. That tells you that the birds were already dead, and the die-off is complete. So what you have is the sea life, and these were, I saw it. It was shells. It was every form of sea life, squid, fish, you know, every form of sea life was in that washed up dead, you know, just a huge amount of whales, everything from the smallest sea life entity all the way up to whales had washed in, hundreds of whales. So Fukushima that's one nuclear reactor. That's one nuclear reactor that went south. And why that could have been cleaned up. When we're talking about the evil in the world today, in the corruption, in the lack of responsibility, in the scientific community, the nuclear regulatory commissions, national, international, that sit by and watch this without doing anything, they're afraid to say anything because they want their business to continue. Oh, my goodness. I just cringe at the evil that exists in the world today that can allow this to continue unabated. And there are companies that could have gone in there originally and shut that reactor down, cooled it down, contained it, and then, of course, it would be a 20-25-year process, just like Chernobyl, to dismantle it, to get in there and start cleaning up. But it could have been done. And the Japanese didn't do anything. The U.S. didn't do anything, which was, one of the prime pollution regions is the United States. But the level of radioactive pollution is over the top. I mean, it has, in that they asked me on the Joyce Riley show, what was the situation in Fukushima? And no, the Pacific Ocean is dead. The Pacific Ocean is dead, and it's going to move to the Indian Ocean. It's going to move around to the Eastern Africa, to Madagascar. It's going to move around eventually into the Atlantic Ocean, and it's going to kill all of the oceans in the world. the Pacific Ocean is by far the biggest ocean. And, you know, if all of the connecting oceans, you go down to the, you know, the Antarctic and now this, you know, the South China Sea, the Indian Ocean, the off to the, you know, the South Pacific, all of it will be dead. I reported that the Australian Great Barrier Reef, 50% dead within another year, 80% dead within another couple of years, 100% dead, the Great Barrier Reef of Australia. And the scientists say, due to global climate change, due to, I read, algae bloom, just complete, utter nonsense coming out of the venue of standard science. Completely, horrifically, horrendously, pathetically, just beyond belief, ignorance. I'm sorry, there's a topic here that I really haven't covered because this is such a complicated topic in Ecuador. But in the news, and rightfully so, this issue called the Panama Papers. And of course, this started in Ecuador. It blew the top off of international banking cartels that were hiding money from rich people internationally. And, you know, it's such a complex issue, I'm not going to try and cover it here. But the major New York banks were involved in this. The wealthy people, people in government, people in the petro industry, people in the uranium industry, people in all of these high roller industries involved in moving money, hiding money, international bribery, it's probably safe to say that this is only touching the surface, you know, to get at the bottom of what was really going on. And once again, you see a story that just broke the just a short while ago about the Clintons taking money from the a company in Ukraine that created steel piping for the oil industry, having hundreds of millions of dollars of contractual agreements with Iran, and Hillary Clinton, while Secretary of State, looking the other way while these same people put tens of millions of dollars into the Clinton Foundation. And so, the level of corruption today is so incredibly high, and these people are just immune. The international corporations, you know, when you realize that these people have taken oaths to other countries and other groups, other operative groups around the world, they're in these positions to manipulate what they can do in the United States, and the court system is completely bought and paid for, which is basically the Crown Court system of England, which is under the Rothschild banking system. So the corruption in the courts, the corruption in, you know, banking, the corruption in government, the high levels of government, in the businesses, and, of course, the Panama Papers were broken by journalists in Ecuador. So the connections here are also too stark to go into a lot of detail other than, there's obviously a connection there also. But Ecuador, as small as it is a central country in which there's a great deal of international interest. Let's just put it that way. And also I should add this. Should have been obvious from my discussion, but there's an apparent tug of war in Ecuador over Ecuador's natural resources between the West, the International Monetary Fund, and Russia, and the BRICS nations, which includes Bolivia. By the way, who I already explained had a major interest in the surveying of the uranium deposits in Ecuador. I'm going to turn my attention to some science issues here, Although recently, to be honest with you, there's been a real dearth of science information in the news, some kind of hokey stories about objects flying around the galaxy, things like that, which are not worth even paying any attention to. But to understand science, you have to understand, I've said this all the time, people criticize me for going into political situations and things like that. This is not politics, boys and girls. This is what is operating in the world today, and at the very highest levels is science, engineering, and the control of it. If you look at uranium and the energy industry internationally with nuclear power, Russia is trying to sell nuclear power to South America. The oil industry is crippled now because the oil prices were going up and up and up. All of a sudden, Russia breaks away, starts buying oil directly from Japan, out of the from China, out of the petrodollar completely. The BRICS nations have organized and created their own SWIFT banking, international banking system for transfer of money. And in response, the United States, with their buddy Saudi Arabia, starts producing vast amounts of oil, processing vast amounts of oil, pummeling the world oil market, where it was up to close to $100 a barrel prior to that, now down to, $30 a barrel? I don't even know what is that now. It's not, I don't follow it that closely. But it destroyed the economy, for example, of countries like Venezuela, which sold a lot of its oil to China, etc. And right now, that's the biggest problem in Canada, is their tar oil sales, which they based the development and the construction of the pipelines and everything else from Canada, a lot of it coming to the U.S., the tar oil extraction in Canada based on the high levels of per barrel of oil on the international market. But now Canada has contracts. It's actually costing Canada to sell its oil and fulfill its contracts. So Canada is taking it on the chin. Their dollar was worth more than the U.S. dollar a year ago. Now it's worth, 60% of the dollar in a year. You know, the European, the euro is still maintaining a bit stable compared to the dollar. But the international exchange rate with other third world countries has driven the dollar up to extremely high values when it shouldn't be. So there's a lot of third world countries whose economies are being absolutely destroyed. Plus, they got a boycott, like countries like Venezuela. So all of the problems they talk about, Maduro not finishing his term in Venezuela. But you got to understand, those people have been just bamboozled by this international, the United States fighting Russia economically with dropping oil prices. A lot of inconsequential victims or consequential victims on the side of this, what they call in the military terms, they call it collateral damage, and or acceptable losses, as some generals say when they go into a battle. We're going to lose 30% of our men in this battle, but it's acceptable because we got to get to the top of this hill over there. That's, acceptable battle. These people don't care who they crawl over, who they smash, who they destroy, how many countries they destroy. But if to understand science, you have to understand all this. You have to understand what happened at Waco, who was behind this, because the international situation is that science is controlled and owned by these same people. So when you read about the Big Bang or the Dirty Snowball Comet model, which couldn't possibly be true in 13 billion years based on a bunch of ridiculous mathematics, there's a reason for that. Or the mathematical world that depends on mathematical analysis, which will never solve anything, even according to people like Terry Tao, one of the more advanced people in mathematics. come out and said what I've been saying all along, that mathematical analysis will never resolve the issues of mathematics, because it's, you know, it's off in left field. It's gotten so far off in left field, and it'll never come back. And it will never resolve the major unsolved problems in mathematics. It's well known, but they keep doing it. But this is also being supported by the international banking community and repressing work like my work on prime numbers. Why? Because they still need those prime numbers to sell phony encryption systems to the public so that the NSA can spy on you easily. They don't want to retool. If you want to understand what's going on in science and in mathematics and in other fields, chemistry, biology, you know, etc., you have to understand international politics. And if you don't, you will never understand why you're reading the garbage you are reading in National Geographic, Discover Magazine, the History Channel, Discovery Channel, and every place else, Astronomy Magazine, Sky and Telescope Magazine. Pure garbage, month after month. Why? Because they have to keep the public stupid about science. Just a quick announcement. On my webpage for the last week, you've had an opportunity to go and look at my new sales page. Let me explain this. And really, it's been a big problem for a long time. My sales page, too long, too complicated, too much repetition, too hard to find things, etc. So the new modern technique, it's called responsive. And responsive means that your cell phone, your tablet, or your PC, when the software goes out, it determines what kind of device you have, and it formats the material for your device, the phone or whatever you have. 80 to 90% of what is done on the internet today is done off of a telephone. My page, be blunt, was a horrible, horrible designed web page. It was a carryover literally from something I built back in the, oh my goodness, I don't even know when. Probably before the 2000s, and I've been maintaining it and with, built on that structure. But anyway, the sales page had to be updated and changed. So I learned about this. I spent about 2 months digging through all of this, and I built my own web page. So I'm very proud of that. There's it may look simple, but there's a lot of detail here. And so anyway, but I would like you to go there. The prices on the filter elements, I'm going to try and keep them fairly stable, but they're probably going to go up a little bit. But at least go look at that page. There's a link to the new sales page, and it's very simple. You come and there's a picture of a beautiful ocean scene. You scroll down a little bit. All of the products are in that one little set of boxes. There's 9 boxes that contain all of the products. You click on them. You go to a sales page for that product. There's drop-down menus, so all the filter elements are in a single drop-down menu with all the pricing, etc. And right now, I only have PayPal for the pay method there. And there's a reason for that, because that also allows me to do a lot of the back-end processing of orders and things like that that used to be a lot of manual work. But at any rate, my point is to go to my webpage, jmccsci.com, or the sales page. Just click on the link to the sales page. But there's a link to the new sales page. Take a look at that. And that is really the future. That allows a lot more venues for, say, advertising or other ways of attracting attention to my sales page, which I did not have before. One of the problems, if people came to my webpage, say, to buy water filters, they encountered all of my science stuff and everything, and this way they come right to this water filter page, and there's going to be another page for my books, just like this, so it's going to be much easier to locate my books. I don't know how many times people have said, I'm looking for this book on your page, and I can't find it. And it's a long list of books on the old web page. And the new web page is going to be very clean, very simple. It's going to be very easy to find an individual book or very easy to find some of the other groups. And I rarely sell one book anymore. I actually had an order this week for like the water book or something like that. I hardly ever have a purchase anymore for like one book or two books or three books. People buy the whole library. And maybe people want some of the something new, or the Nazca lines paper. They've got all my other ones. They want something new. Okay. But the reality is nobody buys one book anymore. They buy, you know, a whole library. They buy two libraries and send one to a friend or something. But anyway, that's why the change of the sales page. So anyway, no more talk about that, but go to the webpage, jmccsci.com. Check out that sales page. Prices will be going up some. I'm going to not raise them very much, but some of those prices will be increasing here in the next number of days when I get around to going in and changing that. But I hope you like that new format, because that is the way of the future. That's the way sales pages look. If you go to any of the major vendors on the internet, that's what happens. That's the way you see. And you might go to a page, you might do a search for a certain book you want to see. Well, you go to that particular sales page, you go right there. And there you go, and you can buy that book, or if you want to then surf around, buy some other books, you can do that also. But that's the look. That's the modern look. That's what's going to be with us really for a very long time. So I learned that system myself. I'm very proud of what I did. It took a lot of time, and now it's up and running. So, just remember that this show I bring to you, I pay for my own airtime. I choose my own topics. I don't have sponsors. Nobody tells me what to say. I do my own investigative research and journalism, and this show is the end result. Things that I guarantee you will not hear anyplace else on the planet what I give you on this show or on my webpage or in my books. That's because I didn't read it someplace else. I did not read it someplace else on somebody else's webpage or something like that. My material is original. I've done my own original research since the 1970s, and everything I do is my own particular creation, whether it's the wing generator, whether it's the plasma discharge comet model, whether it's the, you know, all of the other work that I do, the weather work, etc. All original work. Nobody else is going to give you this. There's a lot of copycats out there that can't get it right, can't even do a good job of copying, but that's what you get. And so the only mechanism for support is if you buy some water filters or my books, and then what's the residual from all the expenses, some of that, money goes to support the show, the paying the airtime, all the other expenses. So I appreciate that. And I appreciate all the people out there who support me, and not only monetarily, but in, psychological support. I don't know how many people I talk to all the time, customers, and I talk to them and I call them up. There's an issue with their order. I have to call them and ask them a question. The email didn't work, so I have to call them. And the first thing everybody says when I call them up, they say, first of all, I can't believe you called me. And second of all, I really appreciate what you do. This is pretty much universal. So I know you people like what I do. You're very much supportive. And so I appreciate that. And that keeps me going, too. That's very important. Because there were many years, decades, when I didn't have anybody to talk to. I went to the scientific meetings. I was always active in the science world. But now I've got a massive audience of people, like regular people out there, scientists. You wouldn't believe the number of scientists that followed this show religiously every week. By the way, this May 11th, and I'm just going to look at my notes here. A very long time ago, probably, a year, maybe more ago, I gave an announcement, and here's what it amounted to. I don't have a particular show, but I know it's in the archives. I gave a list of dates, and these were solar system alignment dates that I had gone ahead and I had measured, and simply based on planetary alignments, because a lot of the cometary activity we're not certain of. It's comets are not predictable long term, although Halley's Comet we know comes back every, 71 years, something like that. But, so comets can be included. But I just took the planetary electrical alignments. These are the linear electrical alignments, not the curving solar system solar wind alignments. But I said May 11th, 2016, Mercury, Earth, and Mars. And so I did make, some people were asking if I had any commentary on that. And I did make that prediction a long time ago, and lo and behold, that was a very significant date. And I didn't remember that at the time. There's so many things going on, I can't remember everything. Then here, I'll read off again the future ones, just so for your own records. October 29th, 2018, Venus closest approach to Earth in a very long time. That's an inferior conjunction of Venus. March 26, 2025, Mercury, Venus, Earth, and I have a big exclamation mark by that, because that's a very significant one, the three inner planets electrical alignment. And then this is interesting, the next, this one, including the next three, are all the same, Mercury, Venus, Earth. So there's like a coupling going on here. Then this one was March 26, 2025. The next one, June 5th, 2028, the same thing, Mercury, Venus, Earth, June 2nd, 2030, and August 9, 2031. Okay, so these are going out a bit into the future. But all of, that was what I thought was interesting, not only that May 11th, I made that prediction a long time ago, that that could be significant, and it was. And then this March 26, 2025, June 5th, 2028, June 2nd, 2030, and August 9th, 2031. Those couplings of Mercury, Venus, and Earth. Very, very interesting. So anyway, the way I noticed this is I was picking up my notes. I have this big file of notes of my show notes, and I have this handwritten note, which I have sometimes a page or two pages, depending on what's going on. And this note fell out onto the floor, and I thought, oh, that fell out of my notebook, and I thought, well, what is this now? And I read it, and lo and behold, that's the May 11, 2016 prediction that I made a while ago. So anyway, I thought that was super interesting, a little serendipity there, maybe one of those guardian angels helping me out. I always said in my life, I have to have at least a dozen guardian angels surrounding me, because the places I've been, the things I've done, probably, living a bit on the edge in a certain sense, and, not to mention my science work, which is cut the grain of the standard establishment, but at any rate, and not to mention political issues, but go to my webpage, jmccsci.com. This is Jim McCanny. This is my Science Hour. And as always, we are at the crossroads. Good night.